let's begin with our word for the next few weeks. The word is just lost. And whenever you hear the word lost, there are probably different images or things that come to mind whenever that word is uttered. You know, for me, and maybe for some of you watching online or in the room, if you're in my age bracket, maybe the first thing that comes to mind is a TV show that came out in 2004, Jack, Kate, Sawyer. How many lost fans do we have in the room? Okay, there was a lot of us at one point, you know, but then it just kind of like, it got bad, all right? It just got weird there at the end. But, you know, I was just thinking about this morning. I was like, man, that show, I mean, it can't be that old, you know? It's like that show just came out. And then I looked it up. It came out in 2004, y'all. It's like almost 20 years old, okay? So it just, I just need to go home and just stop now because it's like, I did not realize how old I was. But so maybe, you know, you hear that word, you think of a loss, you think of TV show, you think of Oceanic 815, you know, crashing into an island and polar bears and smoke monsters and all those things there. Maybe you hear the word lost and your mind goes to your laundry area and you think about that pile of socks that are sitting just right there. How many of y'all have that? You got the sock pile, the lost pile, and it's like the island of misfit socks just like laying right there. And why we hold on to those, I don't know. It's like I just keep holding on to hope. It's like someday there will be a reunion and it will be a sweet day, you know? And it's like, it's going to be a great, great day. Others of us, you know, we think back to whenever our kids were young and like one of the worst days that can, and one of the worst moments you can have is whenever you lose a pacifier. And that is just like, that's 911, like level, call grandma, I'm out, you know, kind of thing. Because it's like a big, lost keys. I don't know if any of y'all lose your keys. Lost sunglasses. Like I think about that. I am sometimes so forgetful, I lose sunglasses that are on my head, you know, and it's just like, they're right there. Where have they been the entire time? You know, lost is where the remote control lives, you know? And so we just understand this idea of lost, but lost is how, let me get this guy's name right. His name was Ming Chen. And Ming, he felt lost one day because he was making a delivery and he was in the Bronx and he was in an elevator and he was making a delivery to this high-rise apartment complex and the elevator he was riding in, it malfunctioned while he was going up and it fell 30 floors, y'all. 30 floors all the way down and then it ended up getting stuck between floors 3 and 4. And he yelled, he screamed, he pushed the alarm button, the panic button, and he banged on the elevator door. But for 3 days, nobody heard his cries for help. Now, I don't know about y'all. That's nightmare fuel right there. You know, that's just like, I don't even want, I'll take the stairs every time from now on. I need the exercise. But here's the thing, y'all. Think about this. Being lost is never fun. Okay, but being lost and believing nobody's looking for you, that's even worse. And today, as we launch into this series, just called Lost, that's kind of where we want to focus our hearts and focus our thoughts for just a little bit. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. Like, that's where we're going to be. So if you got your Bible, you can flip over to Luke chapter 15. And in this chapter, Jesus tells several stories. In some ways, you can count it as 3 stories. Other ways, you can actually kind of count it as 4. And so we're going to be looking at these stories all about lost ones. I mean, lost sheep, lost coins, lost sons. And they're very famous stories, but not only are they famous stories, don't miss this, these are revealing stories because they reveal to us the kind of God that we have, the kind of God who is out there. We have a God, listen, who searches for that which is lost. And so we just want to spend 4 weeks looking at this story and saying, what can we learn about God? What can we learn about ourselves? Because every single one of us online in the room, here's what I know about you. You are either lost or you were lost. And so these stories tell a lot about us. They're going to teach us a lot about our God and about ourselves. So let's begin with the very first story. We'll be in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And we got to set the scene for why does Jesus tell these stories in the first place. So listen to him. This is what the writer Luke tells us. Verse 1 says this, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. And this made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So why does Jesus tell these stories? What's his motivation? And the motivation is very, very simple. It's very clear. We see it right here, and it is critics. People are criticizing Jesus. They are like, why is he doing what he's doing? Why is he hanging out with those kind of people, you know? Because they're like looking at him, and most of the people are like, hey, he's a great religious teacher. You know, he's a smart rabbi. He could possibly be the Messiah. He could possibly be the chosen one of God. But to see him hanging around the riffraff of society, and he's hanging out with those kind of people, and it's not just that he's like hanging out with those kind of people. It's like he actually enjoys time with those people. He engages them. He befriends them. He sits down and he shares food and meals with them. They're like, what in the world is going on with this guy? And so they're off on the side and they're complaining and they're throwing their darts and their arrows and just like, you know, what kind of guy is this? I mean, who would do this kind of stuff? So Jesus hears it, knows what's going on. And so he tells some stories, and these stories, he's making a very clear point. Don't miss this point. It is that he's like, I want you to understand, the reason why I do what I do is because what God celebrates most, hear me, what God celebrates most are restored relationships. That's what gets God the most excited. That's the thing that gets God up in the morning, you know, if you will. It's like he is so excited about restored relationships. And he's looking at this group of people and he's like, you're concerned about the adherence to a ritual. But I'm concerned about the restoration of a person, of an individual. He's like, that's why I'm here. That's why I've come to earth. I want to show you how far God is willing to go to restore the relationship between man and himself. Now listen to me online. Listen, 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 listen. If you miss that, if you miss this, then you miss Jesus and why he came to earth. If you can't get your brain around, and if you miss the point that his entire point was to restore the relationship between God and man, then you're just going to miss him completely. And so he's like, let me tell you a story. And so in chapter 3, this is or verse 3, this is what it says. He says, so Jesus told him this story. So in light of all the criticism, in light of all the nitpicking, and in light of all the grumbling behind him, he says, let me tell you a story. So if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So if a guy has a sheep, he's got 100 of them, one of them gets lost, what's he going to do? Now, here's the deal. For most of us in the room, you're watching online, and if you're in here, I'm going to just make this assumption. You're probably not a shepherd. Okay, I'm just going out there. Don't know how many of us have a lot of flock of sheep just around. And but for in the first century, that was a metaphor that everybody just understood. Everybody was immediately locked in and they're like, oh yeah, sheep and a shepherd. And then he says, you know, hey, this guy has 100 sheep. Every single one of them would have gone, whoa. That's a big flock, all right? Because most folks only had 5 to 15 sheep. And so it's like whenever you got 100, you're talking about something that's like almost 20 times larger than anybody else. So we're talking like this huge flock, you know? So like one goes away, it's like you still got 99, you know, kind of thing. But he's like, there's this guy out there, and it's just like he's in charge of this like family flock, or maybe it's a community flock. And what would happen is every night, what they would do is they would lay down the sheep before they went to sleep, and they would count sheep before they went to sleep. All right, I don't know if you ever do that or not, but that's what the shepherd would do. He would count them all, right? And as he's counting the sheep at night, he's looking around and he sees that one is gone. Now, why does the sheep get lost? All right, so here we go. You ready? It's because sheep aren't that smart. Okay? They're just not. And you're like, well, hey, wait a second. Doesn't the Bible say that we're like sheep? Yes, it does. Okay? You got the point. All right? You know, there it is. So yeah, and they're not that bright. And so what happens is they'll just kind of like wander off and, you know, they'll start to look for more grass, greener grass, a different puddle of water, or even just down to the point where they're just not paying attention to what everybody else is doing. And so it ends up wandering away. So how does it happen? That's the question, right? How does a sheep end up getting lost? And the answer is, ready? One step at a time. That's all it takes. One step. Because here's what I want you to just think about this, all right? No one gets lost all at once. It's never immediate. It's always adrift. It's one step this way. It's another step in a wrong direction. You take one wrong turn that leads to another. No one gets lost all at once. And sometimes you're completely unaware just how lost you are until you're aware of how lost you are. It's a little kid holding mom's hand walking through the store. I remember back in the day, you know, walking through Walmart. These were before Supercenters, okay? This is like just Walmart. And I'd be walking around Walmart with my mom, and then all of a sudden I would look up and I would see, you know, like, oh, there's a new He-Man toy or there's a new Transformer. I would just go over to the toy aisle and I'd just be in my own little world, just enjoying all these things and looking at all these things, saying, which one am I going to ask for? If I'm a really good boy, you know, maybe I'll get that. And then all of a sudden I would look up and I'd go, where's mom? And I can't tell you how many times I paged my mother in Walmart in Carthage, Missouri. And like, I'm lost. I don't know where I am, right? That's all it takes. Or, you know, maybe this one will make it. You know, it's just like maybe you're driving along and maybe it's because you're like a man. You're like, I don't need no GPS. I'm Magellan. You know, Magellan has nothing over me. I have a great sense of direction, and so I don't need directions. I'm not going to stop for directions. And then you never know exactly when or where it happens, and because we're men, we don't want to admit it, but we go, oh, man, I don't know where I am. I'm lost. I don't know what it is. And so what do? Well, we just keep going the wrong way and hope that eventually it'll make it to the right way, right? That's what we do, but really, what is it? It's like, well, we're lost. There's an old hymn, and it's got this line in it, and it just says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I gotta tell y'all, I feel that verse. I know that verse. I've lived that verse. And I bet a lot of y'all in the room do as well. The Bible says, all of us, like sheep, we have strayed away. We have left God's path, listen, to follow our own. And so the shepherd notices that one of them is gone. And so what does he do? He's like, well, I got to go find my sheep. And he looks until he finds it. And then he finally finds it, and he walks over to it, and he yells at it, calls its name, you know, calls it a bunch of dirty names, and just like guilt trips the sheep. No, what does he do? Throws it on his shoulders. So let's get back to where we need to be. And he brings it back, and Jesus says, hey, you want to know what happens after that? They celebrate. Now, the cynic would say that the reason why they're celebrating is because it's like, well, they found a source of income. You know, it's like, well, that sheep has value. It's got a dollar figure to it. But it's actually much bigger than that. The reason there's a celebration is because, hear me? Shepherds love their sheep. They love their sheep. And they know that sheep aren't the brightest animals in the world. But that doesn't matter to the shepherd. He loves them. And so they celebrate because what was lost is now found. And then it's like after this, and he does this in the next story as well. It's like, I want to drive this point home. He's like, just in case some of y'all are a little slow and you're not picking up what I'm laying down with this story, what does he say? He's like, I'm telling you in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. He's like, that is the celebration that occurs in heaven when somebody who is far from God is brought near to God, and that God is more pleased when that occurs, whenever one lost person is found, than whenever 99 self-righteous people sit over there thinking, well, I'm good, and I'm fine. He's like, there's great rejoicing. Great rejoicing. So, today, here's what I have been just kind of wrestling through this week. Here's what I understand. I'm talking to two groups of people this morning, all right? So whether you're watching on a screen, whether you're here and in this room, here's what I know. There are two groups of people today. You are either a part of the 99 or you're a part of the one, okay? So you're either a part of the 99 and you're like, well, how do I know if I'm a part of the 99? Well, if you're a Christian, okay, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know, you're walking with him, you're following him, that puts us in the 99 category, all right? You're like, well, how do I know if I'm a one? Well, it's like, well, if you're not a Christian, if you are unsure about things, you're exploring faith, maybe the only reason you're here today is because somebody bugged you and brought you to church, you know, and you finally gave in, which is great. That's what we want people to do. You know, it's like holy annoyance. That's our goal, okay? And so you're just exploring things out, and you maybe know, or maybe you don't even know, you're like, I am lost, all right? So here's how we're going to finish up today. I want to talk to the 99 for just a little bit here. So if you're a part of the one, you don't have to listen, and you can just tune out for a little bit, and I'll call your name here in just a little bit, all right? So 99, I need you all to lean in for just a second, and I want to remind you of something, and then I want to challenge you with something as well. So here it is. Here's the first thing. Here's what I want you to remember. Someone help find you. Let that sink in for just a second. If you're a part of the 99, you're a part of the flock, you're a follower of Jesus, you're a Christian, somebody help find you. Because here's what I know. Nobody starts off their faith story by going, you know, it was just me, myself, and I. And I decided that I just needed to figure everything out for myself. And so I grabbed a Bible, I read it all, made the decision all on my own, and gave my life to Christ. And that's how I became a Christian. I've never heard that story. You want to know the story I hear about? Well, I had a friend, and they were a follower of Jesus, they were a Christian, and they invited me to go to this camp. Or, you know, I had this coworker, and there was something weird about them and just the way they did it, and so I saw some painful things happening to them, and I asked them, how are you able to maintain this? And they started talking to me about their faith, and it just intrigued me. And so, you know, I ended up going to church with them, and then before I knew it, I was baptized, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm a follower as well, you know? Or it was, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and my mom and dad, they raised us from the very beginning to follow the Lord, to know the Lord. And that's us. That's how it always goes. Somebody helped find you. There's not a single person in this room that's like, I figured it all out on my own. It always begins with an invitation. It always begins with a relationship. And it's easy. Here's the problem of being a 99er. You ready? It's easy to forget that. And it's easy to get to this place to where you're like, oh, I did do this all on my own. But that's not the case, my friends. You are a Christian because someone introduced you to Christ. Okay? This is not rocket science over here, all right? You're a Christian because somebody at one point in your life introduced you to Jesus. So here's my question for you. You ready? So who helped find you? Who is it? And like whenever I'm asking this question, I'm not like making this a rhetorical question for you. I'm like, I want you to spend some time thinking about this. Who is it in your story that introduced you to Jesus Christ? Who is it? And so you've got a bulletin there, and so you've got some blank space on the front, and maybe here just for the next few minutes. So I'm just gonna fill the space with some noise here for just a second, all right? And I just want you to think through. It's like, who is it that helped find you? Who is it? For some of you, it is a mom or a dad. For others of you, it's that friend, it's a coworker, it was somebody at school. Others of you, it was a grandma, it was a grandpa, maybe it was a pastor. Who was it? And so you grab that bulletin, the front of your bulletin, and I just want you to start writing those names down. There's at least one name, I can promise you that. And you just start writing that down, and then while I'm talking here, I just want you to just give a couple of prayers of thanksgiving to your Heavenly Father that those people were in your life because they're the ones who helped find you. Like I know in my story, and here you go. This is your white space, this is your white noise, all right? I'm gonna tell you my story while you're thinking about your story as well. Now, I've told you I was brought up in a Christian home. You know, mom and dad, we went to church. I've joked before, you know, I grew up with a drug problem because every time the doors were open, I was drugged to church, you know, kind of thing, all right? So that's just the way our world was. And stop me if you've ever heard a story like this before. In my teenage years, okay, things got difficult, and I started doing things on my own. Another way to say that was I just got lost. And I started just trying to do things. I was like, I wanted to find my own way and just doing a bunch of stupid stuff. But in the midst of that season, I had several friends who kept inviting me and seeking me because they knew I was lost. Like one of them's name was Kyle. And Kyle, we played baseball together, and we were actually doing stupid stuff together, but yet Kyle would still invite me to church even though we were doing stupid stuff. I don't know if it was guilt or what, but he would be like, hey, you want to come to Sunday school with me? Yeah, sure, why not? You know, so go to Sunday school with Kyle over there at First Christian Church in Carthage. Then there was another guy, his name was Brian. And Brian and I were really good friends. We became friends in seventh grade because this is how it works in seventh grade. Whenever you grew up in Carthage, Missouri, most of us, we walked home from school. You guys remember those days when you could actually walk home from school? Walton County, you're like, that'd been 17 miles. No, I never did that, all right? But where I was, we just lived down the road. And so Brian and I, we walked the same way for like four blocks to our houses. And so we became friends because that's what you do in seventh grade. It's like, well, we're walking together. And so strength in numbers, we'll be friends. And Brian kept inviting me to church. And he was good because he'd be like, hey, the youth group, that's this thing at this church where they've got like people our age. And it's like, so they've got this thing, we're gonna go do paintball. Do you wanna go shoot people with paintball guns? Yes, I do, you know. And so go play paintball, you know, and do that. And he would invite me to church, just always, always. Then once I started kind of going to church there was a buddy named Aaron. And Aaron was a homeschool kid, a little different, you know. And so, but once I got to know him, it was just like, oh, wow, this guy's amazing. He loves football. He likes funny movies. You know, our senses of humor were lined up. And so he was somebody, it was just like always just kind of like, you know, keeping tabs on me and those things. But then it was Jeff Johnson. Now, Jeff Johnson, I've mentioned his name before. And he was the youth minister at First Christian Church in Carthage there. And he's the guy I told you last week that got me to go to Ozark Christian College, okay, this guy. Well, Jeff, and it was really funny because as I started to reflect on this, just even in the midst of what was going on, I was like, dude, you were everywhere. You know, it's like I had basketball games. You would show up at the basketball games, like whenever I was a sophomore, junior, senior, you know, and he would just show up. I was like, you were just like everywhere. He goes, yeah, I call it spiritual stalking. That's what I call it, you know, and it was great because small town, and so I'd be outside in the front yard shooting baskets, and Jeff would drive by, and he'd see me out in the front yard shooting baskets, and so he would just stop, and he would rebound for an hour, and we'd just talk, you know, and about basketball, about all those other kind of things, but he would invite me to church. And so there's other names, but these are the four names I can give you just right off the top of the bat that it's just like, they're the ones that kept seeking. They're the ones that kept inviting. They're the ones that were persistent in the search for lost Adam. And here's the thing. Hear me, 99, okay? Even when I was saying no to their invitations, they didn't stop. They were persistent. And it was just like, well, he said no this time, so I guess we'll just let him go to hell. Nah. They kept asking. They kept inviting. They kept going. And whenever I think about that question, it's like, you know, who helped find you? And I haven't even jumped into, you know, like mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you know, family members. And it's like, I thank God for those people. Because they're the ones that help bring me back into relationship, help bringing me back. And their persistence is what led to my restoration. They help find me. So listen to me. Somebody helped to find you. Who is it? Have you got those names written down? Here's a question. When was the last time you thanked them for that? That might be worth a card, a text message, a phone call, Facebook Messenger, if anybody ever uses that still. And just shoot them a little quick note. Thank you for searching for me. So think about it. Now, here's the big question, though, 99. Okay? You ready? Who are you searching for? Who is it? Do you have a face? Do you have a name? Who is it that you are looking for? Who is it that you know is lost, that is out there, and that you need to go searching for them? You're like, but the 99 are right over here. It feels pretty good over there. No. What does the good shepherd do? He leaves the 99 to go search for the one. Who are you searching for? Who is it? Somebody at work? Somebody at the ball field? Who is it that you are searching for? Reminds me of the story of a young man who had applied for a job as an usher at a theater. And the manager asked him, he's like, okay, everything's going well. Here, I got one question for you. What would you do in case a fire breaks out? And the young man thought about it for a second and said, well, don't worry about me. I'd get out just fine. It's like, hold on just a second. That's not the role of an usher. An usher is to make sure that everybody else gets out as well. In 99, it's not just enough to get out yourself. You are responsible for helping others get out as well. It's not just enough to be found yourself. You are responsible. We are responsible for finding as many as we possibly can. Who are you searching for? Maybe it's a family member. You know, some of you, it's like, hey, this is easy for me. It's my son. It's my daughter, you know. They're lost. There's a story coming up in a couple of weeks just for you, you know. But that's who it is. Maybe others of you, it's like it's an in-law. It's a brother-in-law, sister-in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, father-in-law. Some of you, it might be your grandkids. Some of you, this like hits really, really close to home because it's like people you share DNA with. You're like, I know it's them. Others of you, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody who, it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's somebody that you go to school with, you're on the team with. Maybe it's somebody that you're out at the ball field with. I love this time of year, by the way, because baseball season is going out, and so now I get to start to see all the guys come in with raccoon eyes. It's amazing, you know, because they've been sitting out at the ball field for 8 hours on a Saturday with their big sunglasses on, and they come in, and it's like, yeah, okay, I know where you were yesterday, okay? But maybe it's somebody at the ball field. And it's just like, that's somebody there. Maybe it's somebody, you know, in your neighborhood. Maybe it is your neighbor. Who is it? Who are you searching for, 99? Somebody sought you out. And it's not just enough to be found. We need to go find others. Because this is the bottom line. It's very, very clear that found people find people. If you've been found, you've got a responsibility to go out and find. Because when people are found, what happens? Well, it's great rejoicing, right? It's celebrating. There's a party in heaven. Heaven celebrates. And then so that person is found and we celebrate and it's great. And then we go, all right, who's next? You know, who else needs to be found? Because whenever we experience the joy of being brought back into relationship and being restored into relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to find more. So here's my challenge to you this morning. In your bulletin today, it should have been handed to you at the door. You should have received a card. So I want you to go ahead and grab that right now. If you don't have it with you, grab one on your way out. But the challenge is this. I want you to spend some time just asking this question. Who is your one? Who is your one? Who is that person that you're like, okay, this is the one that I'm going to start to become a spiritual stalker of, that I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be persistent with, I'm going to invite, I don't care how many times I hear the word no, I'm going to just keep going on. Who is it in your life that you know has wandered away from the faith, who has wandered away, who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, who is lost and needs to be found, who does not have a relationship with Jesus? Who is your one? And so we've got these cards, and what we want you to do is you flip it over here on the back, and it just says, my one's name. And here you go. You guys ready? I'll slow it down for you. Write their name right there, okay? All right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to write their name right there, and then I want you to take this card, and I want you to put it somewhere that you will see. And when I say you will see, I mean you and only you. I want you to put it somewhere where only you will see this, and I want you to commit to just like, you know what, I'm going to pray for this person every single day. I'm going to continue to pray for them, that they would be found. And then, God, I want you to give me an opportunity to invite them. Because that's like a simple step, right? Just invite, to extend an invitation. Hey, come sit with me at church. What service do you go to? Which one do you want to go to? I'll go to that one. And you just come sit with me. Or maybe you're just like, God, would you just give me an opportunity to share my story with them and tell them how I came to faith, whatever it is. But you just write their name down right there. You put it somewhere where you see it. Make it private so that only you see it. And you pray for them. You commit and you pray for it. And then you just say, God, give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity. And then here's the deal. When the opportunity comes, seize the opportunity. Extend the invite. Share the story. Who is your one? Now, if you're in the 99, my sermon is over for you right now, so you can spend the rest of your time thinking about who your one is and working through this. Get their name written down, and you start making your commitments right now. That's what I am going to do. But to those of you who are online or in the room, and you're just like, you know what, I'm pretty confident I'm not a part of that 99. I feel like I'm a part of the one. Now is your time to listen again, okay? So I want you to just lean in and listen in here, because I hope that you will hear one thing today. This is the one thing I want you to hear. Jesus left the 99 to find you. Hear me. That's what he did. He left the 99 to find you. There's a great movie that's like got deep theological truths in it. It's called Finding Nemo. I don't know if you know that my kids are 18 and 20, and whenever they were younger, they wore that DVD out. If you need explanation for what a DVD is, come see me after the class, after the message today. But Finding Nemo was the Encanto of the day whenever our kids were being brought up. And in that movie, you guys know the story. You know, Nemo's this little clownfish, and he gets lost, and he ends up in this dentist's office aquarium. And he thinks that his dad, you know, has given up, and Nemo's giving up because he's like, I can't get back to the sea. I can't do any of those kind of things. And he believes about his dad, that his dad would never come looking for him. But then this one day, there's a pelican named Nigel lands in the window of the dentist's office, and he tells Nemo an amazing story. And he says, Nemo. Your father's been fighting the entire ocean looking for you. My father? Nemo says. He goes, oh, yeah. He's traveled hundreds of miles. He's been battling sharks and jellyfish. And Nemo's like, that's not my dad. My dad would never do that. And Nigel's like, no, it is. He, you know, it's some sort of sport fish. He's named tuna or trout. And Nemo goes, you mean marlin? He goes, yeah, that's it. The clownfish from the reef. And Nemo's like, my dad? He's like, my dad took on a shark. And Nigel says, I heard he took on three. And Nemo, dumbfounded, goes, three? And Nigel says, you see, kid, after you were taken, your dad started swimming like a maniac. And he took on three sharks. He battled an entire jellyfish forest. And now he's riding a bunch of sea turtles on the East Australian Current. And the word is, he's headed this way right now to Sydney. And don't miss it. Turns out, your father was looking for you all along, Nemo. And to the one, what I want you to hear today, it turns out your Father has been looking for you, searching for you all along. But he didn't just take on a few sharks. And he didn't just fight the jellyfish forest. And he didn't ride the east, you know, current to Sydney. He went so far, hear me, he left heaven. Came down, was born of a virgin, was born as a little bitty baby. He grew up to be a man and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned, and he lived a perfect life, and then he died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins, that which allows us to become the 99, to leave our status as the one and become a part of the 99 is because he left it all, and he gave up his life for you and for me. He willingly died on a cross for us. He's been looking for you all along. And maybe today you realize, and you've walked in here today and you didn't know that you were, but now you do, you realize that you were lost. That you're headed the wrong way. And it just happened. Listen, it just happened. You drifted. You took a couple steps that way. You took a couple steps that way. Another wrong turn. And then all of a sudden you looked up and you're like, oh my. And you're lost. And if you're lost today, what do you need to do? Well, here you go. First thing you got to do, admit that you're lost. Does no good until you admit it. Second thing you need to do is you got to turn around, because you can't keep going in the same direction you were and think that you're not going to be lost anymore. Third thing, you got to submit to your shepherd. And you got to lay it all down. In the Bible, it puts it this way. You need to confess, repent, and submit. And say, Jesus, I need you to save me. And so if you're in the room today, watching online, and you don't remember the day that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, said, Lord, save me from my sins. Make me clean. Make me whole. I want to be found. Thank you for leaving heaven, leaving the 99 to come search for me. If you can't remember, you know, being baptized, being dunked underwater like Jesus was for the forgiveness of your sins, gift of the Holy Spirit, if you can't remember that, the reason is probably this. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb, because you haven't done it. And today is a great day to do that. And to be able to say, I was lost, but now I'm found. And so if you're watching online or if you're here in the room, we want to give you a chance to be able to say, I am tired of being lost. I am tired of heading in the wrong direction. I want to experience the restoration that Jesus offers us. Well, online, you can visit the website that's on the screen right now and fill out that form. We'll be in touch with you. If you're here in the room, though, today is a great day to just say, I'm ready to go all in. I'm tired of just like messing around. And so, you know, you grab that connection card, and on the back of the connection card, you've got a place to where you can say it. And for some of you, it's just like, you know what? I was a part of the 99. Then I kind of started walking away over here and I'm lost. And so, but I'm ready to be brought back into the fold. I want to rededicate my life. Well, there you go. Check that box on your connection card and let's go. Okay. And then let's turn around. Let's start heading off in the right direction again. Some of you, for the very first time, you need to say, I want to become a Christian. I want to be saved. I'm tired of all the things that I am going through, and I know that I need Jesus. Well, check the box there, and as you're leaving, you can give it to one of the ushers. We'll be in touch this week, or better yet, bring that card up to me after the service, and let's go. Let's go, and let's let there be a great celebration in heaven, because one is brought back to the fold. So God, today, we're grateful that you are a God who loves us, who saves us, and the lengths that you went, that you were searching for us all along. And for those of us who are over here in the 99 today, God, I pray that you would just kick us in the gut today. And just in a very polite way, just kick us a little bit in the gut. And just say, who are you really searching for? Somebody help find you. Who are you helping to find their way back to God? And so for some of us today, God, we're praying for that holy burden. We're praying for you to just place that name, that person into our lives. Others of us, God, we were able to write that name down in no time at all because we know exactly who it is. So would you give us holy persistence and insistence and to not allow a few no's to cause us to stumble, but to keep going. And God, for my friends who are here or are watching online who are just like, I'm lost. I'm going the wrong way. Let today be the day that they turn around and that we can celebrate their restoration. So we love you, Lord Jesus. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us strength, give us all that we need to do what you're asking us to do today. And we pray this in your powerful name. Amen.